Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and today we're going to make quite an impression on you, because, wait a second, did Adam Pascal just walk into the recording studio?
Would you check my podcast?
Oh, no.
I guess that's what living in America at the end of the millennia is like now. You were the pod all along, and before this cast dies, I should tell you, I have to go.
What? That was so crazy. I wish you could have joined us for the full episode, but here we go. I'm just going to go back into my intro. Okay. We're going to make quite an impression on you because...
More pod. A little more pod. Cast, 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 pod, pod, cast, cast. Good. I'm going to race you to the top of the morning. It's a maze, and it looks like none of you have Lily's eyes. Strange as I leave the room.
Oh, my God. Guys, this is the craziest episode we ever had. Mandy and Adam, wow, what a Sunday in the studio with us, am I right? How could it get even any more?
Hello, dollies. It's so nice to see you back in the studio where you belong. I hope you have your Sunday clothes on today. It only takes a moment, but I've got to catch the parade before it passes me by. Toodaloo, so long, dearie.
What just happened? This was the craziest episode ever. But it's not the end of the episode, because joining us today are the usual Victor Victorian little me's to teach us about love and murder, including Kevin, 39 Steps Jager.
Yes, that was like quite a performance. I'm like, I earned my drink today.
Kimberly, our What a Game Master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
They planned that without me. Very shocking.
To be fair, Kevin just read that.
I literally was like not... cold reading that in those voices. Thank you.
And with us today is a singer, actress, and lady of a thousand voices. Sure, she may be a two-time tequila's already kicking in. Nominee.
That was a big intro. I mean, that was a lot.
I didn't say any of it. And originally the role of Dora the Explorer in the long-running National Minute Slowdown tour.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Thank you. But you've 100% seen her YouTube videos, her amazing, incredible YouTube rabbit hole-inducing videos. With over millions and millions and millions and growing of views, she's been done concerts, guest appearances, and more all over the entire world. She really is a diva on demand, or should I say diva in demand. Let's give a big, broad, wasted welcome to a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Christina Bianco.
Yay! Welcome. Oh, my God. What an introduction. I can't believe you cold read that.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, he had told me that I was going to do those voices, but I didn't know what I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was just like cold reading through it, being like, all right. And I practiced in the shower, like, just their voices.
Wait, did you really?
Very
before
impressed.
Before I came here, I did.
Well, Mandy and Carol, we hear all the time.
I was doing it in front of you. I was nervous.
Was that Adam Pascal's debut on this show?
Yeah, yes. It was.
Like,
it
formally?
Was. Yes, oh, for sure.
I had never done that one before on the show.
Just like little phrases here and there.
Yeah, just every once in a while, like when we started talking about Rent.
Oh my
He's very specific, and I used to do him like in the car with my friends in high school.
Yeah.
When we drive around, like we'd always do, I'd play that part, and I would do like his little isms. He's also really fun in Aida, because he like takes his like isms to the extreme.
That's where, I think that's where people that want to work on an Adam Pascal impression should listen.
100%.
Oh, yeah, he was almost a caricature of himself.
It's amazing.
Because I listen to voices, you always find those moments where you're like, I'm going to own this ism. It's great. Oh, that was excellent.
I'll never take
you
sailing.
Need to do anything. I'm
never going to leave Egypt again.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Here we are.
I think I'm done here. Right?
Yeah, that was it. You can follow Christina at xtinabianco1.
Yeah, it's the only handle that was left across all platforms, guys.
Wait, really?
xtinabianco1. Not Xenia Bianco, taken. And the girl once, like once every year, always is just like, I guess this is the time where I remind everybody that I'm not Christina Bianco, the singer. She like never tweets. I'm like, give me your handle. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Xenia Bianco once.
But at least you're consistent over the
handle. Yes, and that is why I chose it.
Because all of them had it available.
It shall be me.
You could obviously go to her YouTube channel, which you should subscribe to immediately. Mm-hmm. It literally will take you on a rabbit hole. Let's just start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking? Well, ladies and gents, I'm usually a little more interesting, so I am obnoxiously having a lovely gin and soda with lime. Oh, I'm drinking it out of the heat is on in Saigon. A Miss Saigon cup.
Amazing.
Very good.
Kimberly?
I also have a gin and soda.
Yes.
With, of course, Ruben and Clay's first annual Christmas Carol Family Fun Pageant Spectacular Reunion Show Cup.
Yes.
Kevin?
I am drinking an amazing margarita that I made myself with. It's in a great comic cup. And it's
Kevin. What cup is it in?
Oh. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Great.
I was like, there's a year in there. Oh, God. And I'm drinking it out of...
out of the Milagro bottle?
Yes.
Milagro
tequila. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's smooth and amazing.
I'm going to add to that. I do love a tequila, and Milagro is a good one.
It's super smooth. I'm really enjoying it.
Mine's out of a waitress cup, and it tastes just like butter.
Oh, God.
Sugar and flour.
Yeah, that's...
I really hope not.
No, no flour.
That's a terrible advertisement.
No. You don't want anything to taste like flour, do you?
No. No, I mean, unless, like... You're garnishing something with a specific flower with a specific taste.
Ooh. Oh, like a flower, like botanical flower, not
You don't garnish with like a whole wheat flour.
No, no, no.
What do you mean by garnish? I just powdered sugar, you just do flour over the top.
I was just imagining some poor, like, first-time baker who just grabs the flour instead of the sugar to ice everything at the end. Oh, God. Oh,
like the guy who made his cakes on Great British Baking Show with salt instead of sugar.
Oh.
And he was so sad, and they didn't rise. And
was that nailed
bad.
It, though?
Or no, it was British, definitely it was British Bake Baking Off? Show. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. Yay!
Let's start out with some questions for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready for the questions.
What's your favorite musical?
Into the Woods.
Okay.
I'm that gal. I love it. I mean, I love a lot. It's very hard to pick. I like a wide array. I love some City of Angels. Mm-hmm. I love some
Evita. So good.
Mm-hmm. Sunday in the Park. But I'm a Sondheim-loving gal, first and foremost. And Into the Woods was the show that... caught me at that perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
I really, of course, I was very young when it came out, but I really understood it as the fairy tale piece and the fun of the first act, and then the weight and the drama of the second act. And so as I got older, I was like getting more out of it.
Oh,
and so that's the show. I feel like it helped me become a better performer, and I was looking at shows and looking at scripts and music very differently after that. I was like a 10-year-old baker's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like
12. Had like one of my first kisses ever on stage as a stage kiss.
Yes.
Like, I can't imagine like a 12-year going through the whole emotions of like her final song.
Let me tell you
like...
how it happened. How it happened was I just completely ripped off everything Joanna Gleason did in the video.
So you do when you're 12.
I remember I was 12 and I was like, I say this line like, I pulled it from a maiden in a tower. Like, just like I was not making any choices.
Tony Award winning Joanna Gleason.
Yeah, no choices at 12. Just completely.
You have the cape.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Because she was, and so we all know it. It was so iconic.
Yes.
And Bernadette Peters' lines too. But I remember, I mean, I was way too young. I might have been about 11 or 12. I was not a teenager.
Yeah.
Did you do the full show?
It was the full show. No, it was the first. No,
just the first
it was the full show because I had to do the Anything Can Happen in the Woods and I had to kiss two people in one show. And I was like, oh my God,
in one
what's
song
my mom
almost.
Gonna say? Yeah. I remember that. It was in Jersey. I'm a New York girl. I grew up on the border of New York and New Jersey, and it was always a big deal. It was like, well, there are these, you know, performing arts programs with doing shows in New York, and these are the ones in Jersey. And it's like a little farther away, but whenever there were good shows, I'd do the ones in Jersey. And I totally straddled the state line. It was great.
Do you remember your first Broadway show?
Yes, I do. It was, drum roll please, Cats. Oh,
yeah.
Wait. We can make that more exciting.
Sure. Yeah.
Drum roll please. Okay, there you go.
Meow.
Okay.
Meow.
It was Cats. And I recall being violently ill. And my parents were contemplating not bringing me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so excited. And I think I was having a little bit of like a total fever. Like, you know, when you're a little bit almost like you're hallucinating. You have such a fever.
Oh, and Cats is a great show to see.
Yeah. and I remember, my mom tells me this, because I remember the cats coming up from the audience.
Sure. How old were you at the time?
Oh, really little. My gosh. God, that show was literally running forever, so I can't remember. But I was definitely under 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I must have been like 6 or 7 years old. And you know how the cats come into the audience and they interact with you. Now you can imagine those dancers who've been in those outfits on those under the lights, and they're probably a little bit sweaty. So what my mom tells me, and I told her, Mommy, they licked me. That cat licked me. And my mom's like, they did not lick you. Like, you're not letting actors lick. Like, he licked me. He totally licked me. But I think, obviously, it was just sweat. So my memory was, of course, loving a Broadway show and being, like, scarred for life because some random stranger licked me. the things you remember, right? But that's
it was Aaron J. Albano. He totally licked you.
Oh, in the original cast?
In the original cast.
Yeah, probably. But, yeah, but I always loved, my gosh, my parents. I was so lucky, so grateful. Particularly looking back on it now, that I was so close to New York.
Yeah.
My parents took me to see Broadway musicals, plays, the ones that I could, when I was mature enough to sit through a whole play, because I was always music-based.
Sure.
And then they took me to see concerts and cabaret shows. And nowadays, everybody, including me, has a cabaret show every 2 weeks, you know what I mean? But back then, it was very, very difficult and very exclusive. And, like, you'd only find out about a show if, Regis was talking about it on Regis and Kathy Lee, like going to see Laurie Beachman. You know, it's amazing. So my parents took me to see all that stuff.
That's awesome.
So looking back on it, it certainly influenced me.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Really incredible.
So seeing those cabarets, let's talk a little bit about what you do, your voice.
Yeah.
How did it start? How did you realize that one, you can do so many, and two, that other people wanted to see that or hear that?
The answer is twofold. I was always doing voices, but I honestly didn't know I was doing it. I wasn't aware of it, and I certainly didn't take impressions seriously until I decided to audition for Forbidden Broadway in 2008.
Okay.
Or 2007 or 2008 when I auditioned. I would always sing around the house. My parents tell me that they would hear me sing along to whatever was playing, and sometimes they would hear me sort of take on the tone and, like, the vibrato speed of whoever was singing. My mom was like, what? Like, they were very musical. My mom was always singing, but always says she was a very, like, rock voice, like, straight tone, just one way. Doesn't have the word she would use is, like, a finesse, a comfortability.
Sure, sure.
And my father played the guitar and the piano and the accordion, but no one really sang. So they were like, what is this in this little girl? So they were very good about fostering that. And I remember my mom saying to me sometimes when I come, back from voice lessons and I was little, and my mom would sing what I learned. My mom would say, honey, don't sing it like the recording. Sing it like you. She'd kill me for that impression, by the way. And I always, of course, thought she just meant, make my own choices.
Right.
Like, don't rip off Joanna Gleason. Like, don't rip off Judy Garland. Like, make your own choices. But in looking back on it, I think I sometimes just, she would have the awareness to be like, Christina, you're singing that note like Judy Garland. But I didn't. I never said, Mom, here's my Judy. Like, I never did that. And so it was, I remember being in high school and the Celine Dion song, it's junior high, actually. And it was, That's the Way It Is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it is.
Her, like, Backstreet Boys song.
Totally. Totally. She wanted I was like, yeah, all right, breaking it down for the kids. And I was at a party, and I thought I was just singing a line or two, and I was like, here comes to those who believe it, and that's the, really, really sharp there, Christina, and that's the way it is. And I thought, she's saying dats, you guys, and that's the way it is. And they were all cracking up that I did that. Oh, you sound like her.
Yeah.
And I remember that happening, but never was like, now I shall start a career as an impressionist.
Right.
Like all kids growing up and doing theater, I went to NYU and... Mm-hmm. I was always told that I was, took direction very well vocally and could do character voices. And I knew that I was a versatile singer. Like, I knew that I was very, very lucky that I was comfortable singing soprano, comfortable belting, comfortable doing rock and roll, jazz, and all that stuff. And that's because my parents raised me in this completely musical home.
Sure.
My father worked in radio, so I listened to everything. I'm really comfortable singing country music, and I actually, nobody has ever heard of it, like, write my own country music. That's a whole other chapter of my life that may never happen, but, like, I just, I love doing it. And it's because I grew up listening to it from the time I was little. So I'm a firm believer in it doesn't matter where you're from. I mean, look, Shania Twain is from Canada and Kate is from Australia, and they're both country music. So it doesn't matter if you're from New York, you know, if you want to sing it, you sing it. And so I knew that I could do that stuff. And so my goal was always just to work. I never wanted to be rich and famous. I never wanted to be a big Broadway star. I'll take the work. I'll take fame if it came. But what I wanted to do was always to work, doing what I loved, and not have to take, you know, a side job and be respected. So I remember, you know, thinking, I'll just keep singing and I'll take all this work. I realized that my character voices, so I called it, and my versatility, comfortable singing many styles, what would be a really good asset for me. So I started thinking about using that more, you know, which of course makes me a nightmare for casting people, but really great for the creatives behind the table, which is true about me to this day. Mm-hmm. When you're really versatile, it's a blessing and a curse because it means you have more opportunities, but you're less likely to get jobs because everyone behind the table sees you as somebody different. Right. That's what I find. Oh, at least that's for me. And throw being 4'11" into the mix and then we get into the dark side of the theater conversation, which we are not having over gin and sunshine today. But I was just really motivated. Mm. And I opened Backstage Magazine, remember that one? And it was an audition for Forbidden Broadway. And I'd listened to that show and loved that show since I was out of the womb.
Yeah.
And I think inadvertently had done impressions of the impersonators, like when I would sing along.
Totally.
Right? Like I wasn't doing Bernadette Peters, I was doing Christine Petty doing Bernadette.
I'm
doing Barbra Streisand, I was doing Suzanne Blakesley doing Barbra Streisand. Like and these names of these people on the show were like... like Beyonce to kids today. Big, like they were huge to me. And I went into that audition with a list on a post-it note of voices I thought I could do okay. And I remember calling my mom and being like, Mom, does this sound like Bernadette Peters? I think it'd be funny if I did her doing, you know, Joanna, which is on, of course, the great Sondheim album that she has. Mm-hmm. And I got like two notes out. I was like, I feel you, Joe. Mom was like, I know you could do that. And I was like, what? She goes, I know. And I went, what do you mean? She's like, well, you always did that. And I was like, what? Like, literally, it was 2007. My mother was like, yeah, you do these impressions already.
Yeah.
I sang Gorgeous from the Apple Tree because it showed belt and soprano and the bit of a schmuck. So and then they said, great, thank you. Do you do any impressions? And I was like, yes, I do. Always say yes, kids. Always say yes, and then figure out what to do after. And I jumped into a little Bernadette Peters, and he said, who else can you do? And I was like, oh. And I tried a little Judy Garland, and okay, who else do you do? And I was like, oh. And he's asking me another one. I said, well, I do Kristen Chenoweth. And he went, really? And I can tell you this was Bill Selby, who's the longtime swing, and now he directs it all over the country. Mm-hmm. And he was like, really? And I was like, well, yes, I do. I do Kristen Chenoweth. And he was like, oh, can you sing like... And I said, sure. And then they literally just started playing... David Caldwell, the accompanist, started playing Glitter and Be Gay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, right, because I...
Because this is the one.
I just started doing some soprano and
yeah, little don't say popular,
but like, little did I know, cut to a few months later, that they told Gerard Alessandrini that I did that at one of the calls, whatever. Anyway, that's what planted the seed to like cast me in the show and write that number, Glitter and Be Glib.
Uh-huh.
But it's amazing to think that my just sort of being like, well, I don't know, I'll give it a shot, led to all that. The fact that it still took a few years, like 2012 or 13, from like the YouTube video to go viral and whatever. Mm-hmm. It was just something that was a part of my life. And then it became a bigger part of my life and a bigger part of my life. And now it's like Christina Bianco, the impressionist.
Mm-hmm.
And it still feels a little weird. But of course, I own it now because I found a way to make it my own, not just being hired.
Yeah, you lean into it more now. Yeah,
but I mean, some people are like, well, of course, I trained for years and I did this impression. And it's like only once I saw that it was being so well received did I go, you'd be a complete idiot if you just sat on this.
Sure.
You need to do something. You need to be creative. And I'm very... very proactive. I'm a little neurotic about that. I was like, what can I do? I don't want to be sitting still. I want to keep moving. And we posted that video really for my parents to see and like my aunt and uncle and my grandparents and all that stuff. And within a couple of days, it had like well over 200,000 views. And I was like, who in the hell is watching that? How did they
My college
this?
Dorm room.
That was it.
Yes.
It was, so I found out that it was all these college kids.
Yes, we were obsessed.
That was it. But I hadn't even been that person that like went on YouTube to see what was popular.
Right,
it was
right.
brand new, I feel like.
It was this brand new thing. And it's funny, it's been my blessing and my curse. I think the timing that it all happened.
Oh,
mostly,
sure.
Mostly a blessing because that the end of that whole thing is I started doing my own shows. I did a big show at Birdland, and all of a sudden I had a show. And so when somebody like Ellen DeGeneres says, can you come on my show? You're like, okay. Well, is she comfortable? Are you, like, comfortable singing? Well, yeah.
Are you comfortable singing?
But then when you air, all of a sudden, on Ellen DeGeneres, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry from every, like, gay bar to performing arts center to corporate event to my husband's barbecue calls you and says, do you perform? Like, who me? Do you have a show? I was like, well, yes, I do have a show, and I have charts for it for up to 9 pieces. Like, I had had it. Because I worked.
Wanted
but
to.
But luckily, I just put that show together because Jim Caruso said, you should do a show.
Yeah.
And that's why I did. It's like, it's all, I just never let it sit.
Well, I was going to just ask really quick how you picked that specific song.
I'll tell you one funny thing. My mother, who I've been talking about, I told her, hey, I was asked to sing at this thing. It's like now defunct at 54 Below, it was called Backstage with Susie Mosher. And she would just invite, it's very much, and we'll plug it, it's very much what Susie Mosher is doing now, which is so freaking great if you've not been there at the new Birdland Theater. And it's called The Lineup. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like a curated open mic. So it's a little bit of spontaneity, but she at least is picking a really eclectic group of people to get up and sing. So it's not a typical musical review, a little more honed than a random open mic. And so she said, I want you to come do something. Can you do something with the impressions? Of course I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, well, I want to do something like different. I always want to challenge myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I did all this Broadway stuff. I'd like to do something more pop. So I thought, everybody knows 80s songs. And I was trying to find one that was overly dramatic. Because I think if you have something that's overly dramatic, having a voice like Britney Spears or Julie Andrews is then more comedic.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
So, and for me, so I do find great joy in finding the perfect line for each artist.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about Barbara Walters. Like, I'm not going to give Barbara Walters any speaking line without an R.
Right.
And I'm not going to give Drew Barrymore any line without an S. Because it's the S's that make her who she is. So, like, I'm not going to have her. Right. So, when the vocalist, it takes it to a whole other level.
Oh, yeah. You need the right vowels.
And also, no, it has to be a melody that everybody knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the more repetitive it is, I'm not even drunk yet. The more repetitive it is, also I find, giving my secrets away, that it's better for the audience because then they can better note the changes.
Yeah,
of
the
how
voice.
Each person
does.
They can like compare and contrast.
And so
in the moment.
I was like, oh my God, Tone Lookup's the Heart is the best. And I told my mother I wanted to do it, and she goes, that's a terrible idea. That video has like 9 million views. I'm like, my ma, it's a terrible idea now.
That's so good.
But it was like
hysterical.
It was the very first time ever. I was like, oh, Adele's really popular. I should try Adele. Let me try Adele on stage in front of a bunch of drunk people at midnight.
Yeah.
That's the safety. That was, I did not think. We filmed it as a joke with a crap camera.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I have everything I tell you does not make a hit YouTube video. I start with endless talking.
Mm-hmm.
People typically just start clicking away from
it. Right.
It's entirely too long. And for a video where I say I was singing 19 different voices, I spend 2 minutes on a terrible Adele impression because it was the very first time I ever did it. I don't know how anybody kept watching. Let alone shared it. Like,
it's so
totally
good.
Went
it's
against
so
every.
We watched it at parties.
Oh, yeah. I still watch it.
You're supposed to, like, release a YouTube video, like, not in a weekend. I think I released it on a Friday. Like, none of it worked. Like, I was the complete opposite of what you're supposed
to do. But it's also
do.
Cool because young people who wanted to do theater were seeing people succeed, not just doing a show.
Yeah.
And creating their own path. And
you
that's
know?
Really exciting, especially at that time where you didn't know what other paths were. You just knew audition, get in a show, find the next audition.
I really appreciate you saying that.
On that note, let's play a game.
Yes!
Okay.
Sure. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, I have created plot points, biography audition.
The biography audition?
The audition.
Honestly, kind of.
I love it.
The biography audition is what I meant
I'm
to say.
I'm very excited.
So usually plot points, one pile would be a song, and one pile would be either a show or a book or something that has a plot to it.
Sure.
Okay.
And then you would need to sing the plot of that thing to the tune of the song, and then we would guess both things.
I'm confused already. Great. Let's do it.
Today, instead, I have a pile of Lights of Broadway show cards.
Okay.
And some songs that I wrote down.
Okay.
Okay.
They don't have a lot to do. I don't know. Pop hits.
Okay. Don't start with me and this will all go fine.
Exactly. We'll start with Kevin. Always.
Okay, got it.
So what you'll do is, with whoever you get from the Lights of Broadway show card deck, try and explain the plot points of what would be their biography.
Got it.
In their voice if you can, because you know, Christina and Kevin are very good at impressions.
Brian and I have never tried. I think everybody has an impression. They just have to discover
they have to find it.
So maybe we'll find yours today.
Maybe we'll find them. Let's see. Brian's is Emily Ashford. Wouldn't that be great?
No, it won't be great. I will not be picking that card.
You can do an impression if you choose, or you can just give plot points of their life to the tune of this pop song.
Great.
I'm going to put a bell in the middle if you think you know either the song or the actor. Ring the bell and give an answer.
But if you hear the song anyway, you can just hit the bell.
And just say the song. Yeah.
Okay. I can hear the bells.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I hear bells in the summer. I kind of thought it was. Sorry.
There are bells on the hill.
How many bells?
Yeah, I know, right? Seven if I were a bell, I'd be ringing.
The bells of Notre Dame. Okay, yeah. I'm done.
Okay.
Jingle bells.
jingle bell.
And then I'm just in my head going, what a town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wrong bell, but also right bell.
It's a bell.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bell.
Yeah.
They just don't say the name.
He played Fiero and Kyle in Legally Blonde and Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Okay.
Yes.
The song is Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yes, it is.
Spears. And he played Fiero and who in Legally Blonde?
Kyle.
The UPS guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Edwin played Fiero. I didn't know he played Fiero.
Wait, am I allowed to steal it?
It's not Andy Carl.
It is.
I do lots of voiceovers. I was just on Broadway.
What?
I sang in front of a curtain. I was on one of the longest running shows of all time.
I know who the person is.
Sure.
I keep hitting the bell before I know everything.
That's okay.
You're talking about David Hyde Pierce.
I am.
I don't know what the heck song you're singing.
Yeah, I don't know what song that is.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I played Niles Crane, I hated blood, and I passed out a lot, and it was funny.
I wrote these songs down, no clue.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh my god. That was like,
David Hyde Pierce, get on your feet.
I am so scared about this. She won a Tony for Miss Saigon. Then she played Fantine and Eponine in Les Miserables.
So it's Lea Salonga. It's All Coming Back to Me.
Yes.
You mean the greatest music video of all time?
Yes, of all time.
Oh my god,
that's her running like slowly, and there's the guy in the motorcycle.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
There won't really be an impression, but here we go. She was dancing in the chorus line, and then she was in company. TikTok.
Oh.
So it's Donna McKechnie.
Yes.
And. Spider webs?
Yes.
That was a really good.
What's spider webs?
Sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm walking into spider webs, so leave a message and I'll call you back.
What song is that?
No Doubt, Gwen Stefani.
Oh, I've never heard that song.
From Tragic Kingdom.
Yeah, I missed that.
There's more for a second round if you'd like.
She was in falsettos, and she was in parade, and was in Tuck Everlasting. Put her hands up. Oh.
It's Carolee Carmello, All the Single Ladies.
Yes. Okay, wait. I'm just gonna say that the natural timbre of your voice was very similar to your Maddie Patinkin impression.
Yes, I tried to go for.
I'm going to need to hear Maddie Patinkin now sing more of Single Ladies. We ask him to do this.
Walked in the club, just rolled up.
Something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Just do the That's it. I've created a monster and I'm so happy.
When is the first time we heard you do that? Because, like, every time
see,
I hear your
Mandy.
See,
that actually came out of the same thing you were talking about. Like, my family was obsessed with Secret Garden. And we used to listen to it all the time. My dad and I would sing a duet of the
Lily's Eyes.
Yes. And so I would always be Archibald, so I would always do his kind of like strange this Mary, and like you just like copy what they're doing. Uh-huh. You're like 10 years old,
yeah.
And you don't realize you're doing an impression. You just memorize like their breathing patterns and everything they do.
Okay, game time.
All right,
you can do it, Brian.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
I sang Lumiere, ba ba ba, El Gallo, and Baby's Daddy. Then I was Lenny Briscoe Strong.
Oh, it's
That would be my favorite person whose name I can't remember right now. Yep.
He has a way.
No, he's passed on. We love him. He passed away.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I know his name. I'm going to get it in a minute. But what you were singing is Sweet Caroline.
Cop on Law and Order.
Yeah, I know his name. Bum, I don't know why I can't do this. Why am I doing this? I'm in love with him. His memory. I'm in love with him.
The cat and mouse were Tom and...
Jerry.
Not front, but...
Right, or back.
Yeah.
Sweet Jerry or back. Ba, ba, ba.
Law and order.
Don't give Christina's origin. Yeah, like that guy, the Jerry guy. What's his name?
She performed in Liberty, then she was in Company. She was on 30 Rock. She's...
It's okay. Elaine stretched to Genie in a Bottle.
Yes.
That was a good Christina.
It's a drunk Christina Aguilera impression.
No, I loved it because you couldn't see it, but like she got like the hand of Christina too. Like side jazz hand. We're like, is she playing an invisible trumpet?
She's
like, what is she doing?
Christina Aguilera is incapable of singing without a hand up in the air.
Yes, and
the
she's
fingers
always,
moving on the microphone.
Yes. What is she doing?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's always like, whoa. Every little note I'm singing, my hand is moving as if she's playing an instrument.
Yeah.
She's like those people who, when they scat, play the trombone.
He was in Hedwig, which was legend.
Wait for it. Dairy. I got so excited because you said wait for it. Which means you actually watched the show How I Met Your Mother, which is underrated. So it's Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
And you were singing What's Going On, or What's Up is the real title.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Four Non-Blondes. And that.
Type in What's Going On, it will not come up. You have to type in
Weird. Wait, and that was plot points, biography, audition.
That was great.
Well, we know that you talked a little bit about you talked a little bit about traveling the world. You've been Australia, New Zealand,
I'm
London.
Tired. Yeah. That's why the gin is working so quickly.
But do you mind going one more place with us?
Tell me.
Sure.
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner.
I'm so happy to be in Kevin's Corner.
Today's Kevin's Corner is brought to you by our friends at Gold Star, the best place to get your best tickets at discounted rates for all the hottest shows and live events. So each of these questions is going to start out with an awesome thing you can get at Gold Star, and then it's going to careen into a weird question, and we're going to see what you can answer.
I'm excited.
Okay, so here we go. Question one. For only $20... even free admission through Gold Star for certain event dates, you should definitely check out Music at the Loft at City Winery. This new, even more intimate space features City Winery's signature sound, sightlines, and service, with programming ranging from up-and-coming acts to theatrical productions, and a great concert-friendly food menu and a full bar with lots of wine made in-house.
I love City Winery.
So good, right? Mm-hmm. House of Sand and Fog is a 2003 film based on the 1999 novel of the same name that starred Sir Ben Kingsley and my favorite, Jennifer Connelly, in a story that concerns the battle between a young woman and an immigrant Iranian family over the ownership of a house in Northern California, which ultimately leads to the destruction of four lives.
Right.
Strange, we already talked about this, but Live with Kelly and Ryan was originally a show called The Morning Show, hosted by Regis Philbin and Cindy Garvey, before it rose to national prominence as Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, then Live with Regis and Kelly, before Live with Kelly and Michael,
before,
and now Live with Kelly and Ryan. So my question is,
oh my God,
if you had your own morning show,
yes,
what would it be called? Who would your co-host be? And who would you bring on as your first big guest?
Why are you asking me such a deep question? I want my own show so badly. I double majored in journalism. I'm ready right now for this.
Oh, I love this.
Do you know who I think would be visually hilarious to be a co-host with me?
Who? Mm-hmm.
Who is surprisingly good at everything and apparently the nicest man alive would be The Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to watch that morning show.
So I think Xtina and The Rock would be a freaking hit.
That's a great title.
But I'm going to tell you the other dream person.
Okay.
Somebody who would never do it, but you know, it's my dream.
Right.
Is the person that everybody on the interwebs knows I'm obsessed with, and that is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And this is because Benedict Cumberbatch loves slipping into impressions.
Yes.
He does.
So I feel like we would be such good morning entertainment.
Would you call it Bianca Batch?
I was just thinking that.
Were you really? Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
See, we have connected so many moments today.
I love
today.
This. Yep,
we've
a lot.
We've built a deep friendship.
So who would your big first guest be?
Well, if he's not on the show, Benedict Cumberbatch.
So with the Rock version,
I mean,
it would
basically,
be Benedict
Cumberbatch. No, you know what? I would give a nod. I really want to give a nod to some of the people who have made my life so incredibly wonderful. And just inspired me. I've never met Tracy Ullman.
Oh.
And basically, so my favorite people, my greatest inspirations are these comedic actresses that are also incredibly, obviously great at drama, great singers.
Sure.
So it's Andrea Martin. It's it's Tracy Ullman. Bette Midler is, of course, somebody who I love to death. So as somebody who would be like a double thing. Like the audience would love it, but I'd also have an emotional orgasm.
Yeah.
So one of those women.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah. It wasn't so hard. I can
no,
do that.
No, that's so. Question two. Here we go.
That was only one. God.
Yeah. Welcome. Okay.
For tickets ranging from $17.50 to $45, you can see friend of the show Liz Calloway and sister of friend of the show Anne Hamden Calloway perform Broadway with the Calloways on Monday, March 25th at beautiful Sony Hall.
Where I just was seeing Trevor Ashley's Liza's Back is Broken.
Plug,
if you don't know that man, look him up.
Good. Hall & Oates, or Daryl Hall and John Oates.
I was just talking about Hall & Oates this
morning. Are an American pop rock duo with songs like Kiss on My List, Private Eyes, Rich Girl, and Man Eater.
My favorite.
The Purple People Eater is a 1988 American science fiction comedy film based on Sheb Woolley's 1958 novelty song about a one-eyed, one-horned, fine purple people eater that starred, get this, you're going to freak out, Neil Patrick Harris, Ned Beatty, Shelley Winters.
Oh my God.
Dustin Screech Powers Diamond. Peggy Lipton.
Oh my God.
And Thora Birch in her film debut.
She was
tiny child with Chubby Checker and Little Richard making their musical guest appearances. What is that list of names?
Oh my God.
That's like if you threw a dart at a dartboard.
I mean. Like Shelley Winters is in there with Chubby Checker. Yeah. Like they worked together.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't. So my question is, if you were going to make an appearance in the fantasy Broadway musical version of the film E.T. as the Drew Barrymore part of Gertie.
I can't believe that
amazing.
This is happening.
I know.
That's
who
amazing.
Would play the following roles?
Oh, my God.
We're going for a concept where adults are playing kids. Okay. So
your
Drew Barrymore is Gertie. So
excellent.
Who would play Elliot?
Is it musical?
Yes.
Yeah.
It can be whatever you want.
I'm theatrically in love with Wesley Taylor, so I think that...
Oh, that's 100%. Great!
That's a perfect choice.
Oh, my God.
I feel like he's so versatile, he could do anything, and also, like, interpretive dance.
Yes! Who would play E.T.? It's a big role.
Let me get there.
Is it a puppet?
No.
Mm-mm.
No, we're going to Andy Serkis this. We're going to make it, like...
I love that you said it's, like,
a
descriptor.
Who will be... No, I can do this. Who will be E.T.? If we have the budget, it has to be like a big celebrity, like yeah. Tilda Swinton.
I'm obsessed with this. Who plays your mom, Mary? Elliot and Gertie's mom, Mary.
She's so good in that movie.
She's amazing.
We just need to cast my dream mom, which would be Tracy Ullman.
Perfect. Yes. And then Elliot's brother, Michael.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Yeah, he kind of like is like mean to him, but then like actually takes care of him.
We want to go for getting a young audience in. We've got Hollywood, we've got niche, so we need YouTube.
Uh-huh.
So we'll bring back Todrick Hall.
Oh, 100%.
Cool.
Oh my God, I love
that. Showing a more dark acting side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's always so bright and positive, so this would be a great...
I'm just like seriously going for gold here.
I can't wait
Tilda Swinton
as
E.T. is the greatest you've ever heard.
I feel like that's the most brilliant choice.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, we got one more question. We can do this.
I'm ready.
If you're a man who's a bear, a cub, a wolf, an otter... have sometimes continuous scruff, or admire a man with a fuzzy face, you can go on goldstar.com, and for only $12.50, you can check out the gay speed dating for scruffy guys at Etc. Etc.
Oh.
Etc. Etc. is a famous line uttered by Yul Brynner in the musical and film version of The King and I,
yes.
A musical recently seen in London with the brilliant Kelly O'Hara, reprising her Tony-winning turn as Anna. Anna Scott is the name of Julia Roberts' character in the romantic comedy Notting Hill.
You're correct.
With foppish charmer Hugh Grant.
Yes!
Oh, where now we're speaking my language.
His nickname was Floppy.
It was. Flopsy.
Flopsy, right?
Where Julia delivers the line, "I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her," as she gives him an original Chagall painting, and he still somehow rejects her because he's a daft prick, in his own words, not mine. He literally says that in the movie, and he wins her back at a press conference, and it's so amazing, and I love it.
Best movie ever.
So cute. So my question is, what is your favorite sound in the world?
What Where did is your that come
favorite
from,
smell
Hugh Grant?
In the world? Hugh and what is your favorite taste in the world?
Where did that come from, out of Hugh Grant?
I don't know. I'm foppish.
Foppish. Well, my favorite smell? I love basil.
Basil,
good choice. If you're listening and you're British. Benedict, if you're listening, it's basil.
You're biggest fan, Benedict.
No, I spend so much
What a
time.
Fun segment that's going to be on your show when you both say the same word differently.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Like that Love Actually scene in Wisconsin.
Aluminum, aluminium, exactly.
Table. Oh, it's the same.
Table. Oh, my God. It's so funny. I love it. Basil.
Okay,
I'm a complete crazy queen for basil. And people, please, if you bring me flowers and gifts and chocolates after a show, that's lovely. But what I really want is a bouquet of basil. Just, you can't go wrong.
How good would your dressing room smell?
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. I cook with it. I put it in my drinks. It's good for you in general. I love it. Basil, what was the next question?
Favorite sound?
When my dog just decides to walk over to his water bowl and drink his water, the sound of him lapping up that water always makes me smile. It's the cutest thing
That's
in the world.
Sweet.
It's just so darling.
What kind of dog
your favorite
do you
taste?
I have a he's a schnoodle, a schnauzer.
Oh, so Ooh. Cute.
Favorite taste? That's a tough one. But I guess because I'm an Italian girl who's not allowed to eat many carbohydrates because I'm 4'11" and all my weight goes to my booty, then I'm going to say a really good Italian meat sauce. And a good Italian meat sauce has pork and beef, a good tomato, a really good tomato. Some basil is in it.
Right.
It has to be a good pasta, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think a bolognese.
Do you make
sauce.
Your own sauce?
I do. Oh, no, you have to make your own sauce. It's too easy. Open a can of Pomi and you're fine. Or the San Marzano tomatoes, of course, are the best ones. But it's so easy. It's so easy to cook. And I find it so infuriating when people open jars. Mm-hmm. It's like that is actually. The time it took you to open that jar and heat it up and put it in a pan is almost the time it would have cooked you.
You could throw some tomato sauce.
So for me, my go-to as an Italian girl, 100% on both sides. Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm applying for my Italian citizenship tomorrow.
Yeah,
really? I waited 3.5 years for the appointment. And yes, so I hope to enjoy my real traditional bolognese sauces with the carbohydrates of wonderfulness. In Italy, sometime in the near future with an Italian passport.
Yes.
That's my answer.
And that has been Kevin's Corner. Again, this was sponsored by our friends at Gold Star. Check out goldstar.com/broadwasted to find some really great deals for live shows, live experiences, and your best tickets to Broadway shows.
Don't forget, you can get $10 off if you use our code BROADWASTED, all caps, at checkout. That's $10 off if you use BROADWASTED at checkout.
Bam. That's for Kevin's Corner.
That was awesome.
I loved it. So, and I love the throwing in of anything Notting Hill.
Yeah, right?
Now I just rewatched that movie. Oh, I told you, like, I work on planes. I don't have any fun. But I totally watched Notting Hill on a plane. Oh, yeah. Like, it was very fresh in my mind. I rewatched it and got a kick out of it.
Two quick questions for you. What is your process to learn a new voice? And do you do any upkeep to voices that are already in your repertoire?
I do. And I wish I'd brought one of the things to play with. Maybe I can pull it up on my phone and we can get it going. One of the things I do to keep up impressions is sort of something that a few impressionists do. And I was on this recently on this TV show in the UK with hugely famous British impressionists. It was a huge honor for me to be a part of it at all. Mm-hmm. It was called The Imitation Game.
Sure.
And not Cumberbatch's, which I also recommend, but it's not funny. So the TV show The Imitation Game, they have like basically it's there's two teams, and you play games with impressions. And one of them is one-word impressions. And it's, can you get your partner to guess the impression you're doing in one word or one note? Wow. So a better way to do that when we're all practicing, impressionists tend to do this, is sort of almost have like a flashcard, like, go, go. And you have to do it in usually 5 words or less. Mm-hmm. And you give yourself like a minute to see how many you can get through. So I do this in my shows now. I try to give a little sneak peek of it to the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really helpful because you have no time. You kind of go for one noise sometimes. Like if it's like Phoebe on Friends, I'm like, ow, 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 yes! And then they all get it. Like it's not a word, but it's a feel. So you're forced.
Oh, yeah.
You're forced to go for like the gut thing.
Yeah.
And I find that's a really funny way to keep in check. It's definitely a little more avant-garde. Like it's not sitting down and really
still
revisiting movies, yeah. Which is very helpful. I mean, we all need it. I do my unlikely interpretations all the time. That's where I take one song that you know very well, and I mm-hmm. sing it as somebody who should not be singing it.
Right.
If you come see one of my shows, you might hear Julie Andrews sing Bang Bang. Mm-hmm. Or you might hear, you know, Barbra Streisand sing the theme song of Cheers. This is the sort of thing I like to do. That helps me with impressions as well, because having them, working on them singing something they've never sung is much more of a challenge. You have to really hone in on their isms and their mm-hmm. musical choices.
To know, like, what they
than
would
just
choose to do.
Mimicking
having
a song
sure,
that they
sure,
do.
Sure.
I find that incredibly easy. Mm-hmm. I try to find a way to make impressions palatable and entertaining and surprising. I want to say, just basically for a long period of time. And in the UK in particular, every show is two sets. Mm-hmm. Here in New York, everything for a solo performer is always one action, you're done. But it's always two sets there. So I'm trying to keep an audience for one show for two sets, but then I want them to come see me again with a whole new show. So it gives me a lot more material to work with, and I get to be more creative. Hence, the show I'm doing at the Green Room. It's interesting. And it sort of ties into what we said, but it's... It's something very different for me. I love performing with a big band. I love doing a lot of set songs. I'm, as you can maybe tell about me, I'm really specific. So I like to, you know, memorize my pattern and then play with it. I like to know all my songs and then have fun with them. I'm really by the book. And maybe it's my very trained musical theater background. I'm mm-hmm. by the book and then I play once I'm comfortable. And audiences, of course, like it better when you're comfortable and they don't think you're reciting something.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly in a cabaret environment, particularly in a... my shows are half my own voice, half impression, and the impressions don't always make people laugh, and my own voice isn't always a dramatic ballad. I mean, it's a nice balance of everything
sure.
I try to craft in my shows. But at the end of the day, I call it musical comedy and then some.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, I call it actually a Bette Midler concert is what inspires me the most.
Really?
You know, because Bette Midler comes out there, if you watch any of her great shows.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Divine Intervention or whatever, she comes, and I use the word diva all the time, and it's not really a play on her because other people chose the word diva for me, like the Ellen DeGeneres's, like you do these great divas, you know, it was given to me sort of, so I took it and ran with it. But when you think about someone like a Bette Midler, she'll come out and sing, you know, a funny little song. She'll do almost 10 minutes of what seems like stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But she's not a stand-up comedian. Someone's written it for her, or she's written and crafted mm-hmm. with the help of a director. You know, she's basically performing patter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comedy patter. And then she'll come out in a mermaid and do a bit of sketch comedy as a character, and then all of a sudden put on a beautiful gown and sing the rose.
Yep.
So nobody bats an eye that the show was completely eclectic and nuts. I know she's a huge celebrity and I'm not, but that's what I like to do with my show. I like to keep the audience on their toes and give them a bit of everything.
Yeah.
So with that structure, it's great fun, but I, in my experience now, have found that the audience really loves, particularly audiences that know me well already, as a New York audience typically does,
yeah,
seeing me on my toes, seeing me get a little bit nervous, and putting me to the test a little bit. And you can only do that if you have a really great support team. And so to do what I'm doing now, I'm using the brilliance, if you know him, of Brian Nash. Brian Nash is an incredible pianist, music director, arranger, and showman. He's for years performed at the Duplex. He's still there every Sunday. He's literally performing with Jennifer Holliday, Cynthia Erivo right now, all these famous people.
Heard of them.
And then runs back every Sunday to still play the Duplex because this man is absolutely incredible. And so because he is a human jukebox, I call him I say he has an encyclopedic knowledge of music. Everything. I mean, pop, Broadway, and then some. I'm doing this show called Diva on Demand. And it is very much like you are watching something on demand. There is a musical menu, as if it was your menu of choices. So basically, Brian and I will have, when you arrive, there'll be a list of about 5 or 6 songs or pieces of monologue to recite from your favorite movies or TV shows television theme songs, about 5 in each category. And when you arrive at the club, you circle your choices, you make your menu choice, and somebody tallies them up, and then that is how I know when I'm performing that night.
Wow. That's so
it is really hard.
Yeah.
And we can't rehearse everything. I'd spend all of my money in all the rehearsal venues of New York, and we can't do it. but after being so structured, it's nice to give myself that test that's almost like the one-word impressions or it's sort of fun to do that. And I can only really do it in a place where I know the audience already knows me. I wouldn't debut this show somewhere.
Doing this at the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Definitely not.
Get out your phones and vote.
Yeah, they've been telling you, I can't wait to get my own app and make it completely spontaneous.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
But it hasn't happened yet. So if you come to the show, literally, I don't know what to do until you circle it.
That's so fun.
And that's so different from what I normally do.
Yeah.
So I promise you, there'll be nothing else like it. And I'll be jet lagged, so it'll really be great.
Even better.
Yay!
So that's all right. That's March.
I'll be doing completely, it's March 30th at 9:30 p.m. at the Green Room 42.
So go to thegreenroom42.com, get your tickets for that.
Yeah. And it will never be repeated. I mean, that's the honest truth. Yeah. The show will never be repeated.
Let's play another quick game.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
We'll just do a game of Hot Potato Heads Up.
Okay.
Mm.
So what we'll do is I will set my timer for, let's give ourselves a minute and a half.
Okay.
We're going to do Heads Up with the Lights of Broadway show card. So you'll put one card on your head as soon as you guess it.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the whole pile to the next person who will put a card on their head. And we, as a team, are trying to get the most cards possible in the time.
You can't say the title, obviously.
Correct.
Okay, taboo style rules. But I'll do a minute and a half. We'll try and go through, and then I'll do another minute and a half and see if we can beat our score.
Okay.
And we go.
Where the wind comes rolling down the plains.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh, these are all shows. I should have said that
first. Oh, they're all shows. Okay.
Yeah.
Willkommen, bienvenue.
Cabaret.
Yes.
I will never leave you.
Oh,
never leave.
Yeah, go ahead.
I couldn't get my own fast enough. The cup.
Your cup.
Great comment.
Yes.
We're going to say the whole title.
No, not that time.
I want to be a
producer.
Yes.
Producer.
Yes.
Here.
Oh my God.
Just put it on your head.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba.
Tony.
Yes. Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, my arm is broken.
Window.
Oh, Evan Hansen.
Yes.
You and I both look like this. Holding our arms. Oh, it's upside down, but Laura Osnes is gorgeous.
Laura Osnes and Corey Cott's chest hair.
Bandstand.
Yes.
Chest hair. I know.
Because we're... that doesn't help.
No. I am telling you.
Game girl.
Yes.
Brave girls. I don't know why I belted that.
Red, blue, orange.
Sunny in the Park with George.
Yes. red.
Robert Goulet.
Goulet.
Kind of a lot.
Yeah. We'll count it.
And that's our time?
Yeah. Yes.
Great. So we'll try and beat 13.
That's 13.
Yes.
We're going to try and beat our score.
I'm loving this game. Okay, here we go.
And go.
Andy Carl. Carol. And yeah, again. And again.
Yeah, that was a good,
that was actually a really good clue.
Oh. 9/11 musical.
Come from away.
Yes. You got it.
I couldn't say it.
Hey, what do you want? I am what I am and what I am.
Yes. It is her
the
cup.
The heat is on it.
Miss Saigon.
Yes.
Miss Saigon. Miss Saigon.
Every gimme, such day is
modern, third modern movie.
Yes. Not just modern. She's not just modern. Alice Ripley. What a Tony.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. he has chest hair and bandstand.
Yes.
Correct.
Red, blue, orange.
Was he here earlier? Mandy Patinkin.
No, the newest one. The actor.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
Oh, he was not here.
The actor, but the others aren't.
Anastasia.
Oh, Anastasia.
Chrissy Altomar.
Oh, I love him. Waitress.
Okay.
Drew Gaelic.
No.
Young
Frankenstein. Yeah.
Sorry, I was not helpful. Oh, I love him.
Super famous, A Fish Called Wanda. He's a famous actor.
Kevin Kline.
Yes.
One of my favorite men of all time.
Oh, that was a good one.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, we're done.
One of my other
idols. Also, Young
Frankenstein.
On the side
of my face.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
We beat it.
We tied.
We tied.
All right.
Listen, we didn't go down.
No,
I'll take it.
That's respectable. I feel really good about that.
We did good.
Steady as a beating drum.
Yeah, that brings us to the end of our episode.
Steady as a beating drum.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This was way too much fun. I'm so happy. Thank you for having me.
Of course. You can follow her at xtinabianco1.
One.
One. The number one, not written out.
Sing it off.
thegreenroom42.com, March 30th. Go. Diva on Demand. Thank you to Gold Star so much. Again, you can get all discounted tickets for Broadway shows, comedies, tours, dance, activities. Go to goldstar.com/broadwasted. Use our code broadwasted to get $10 off your order.
Use that.
It's all caps, broadwasted. Again, you can follow us at broadwasted on all social media.
Yes.
Join our Facebook group for some theater nerdy stuff.
Yeah, do it.
Please.
Also, don't forget, there is extra content to be had on Patreon. Kimberly, you want to...
Yes, there's an extra podcast every month on Patreon, as little as $5 a month. We'll get you access to that. If you go up in tiers, there's a little bit of extra stuff, some live Q&As with us once a month. You get to ask our guests a question sometimes.
So keep
an eye out for that. If you join our highest tier, we'll also send you a personalized welcome package.
You can find us also on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review us there.
Five stars, please.
And thank you.
We always end it with a quote.
We do.
And today's quote is cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells, and schnitzel with noodles.
Yep.
Wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Ew, how lovely.
if you, I read the whole song like out loud to myself.
Yeah.
It's a Dr. Seuss book.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
And now you know why I do Julie Andrews impressions reading Dr. Seuss.
Do you really?
No way.
I do. Go YouTube me, guys. Go through the vortex.
Yes.
And I do a lot of Dr. Seuss.
Oh, God. I know what I'm doing tonight.
So good.
Celebrities reading Dr. Seuss. Quite brilliant.
Well, thank you so much. Go see her show. But as always, we raise a glass.
We do.
And we end with
Zoot-doo-wop bump. Cheers.
Thank you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.